Hello, and welcome to Genesee Valley Church's online service. Our theme for this year is Plus One, which encourages us to invite someone to join us in worship and fellowship. Our mission statement is simple. It's loving God, loving people, and loving life. We hope that this message will serve as a source of inspiration and encouragement for you. Each episode, we will explore different aspects of our faith, share stories of hope and healing, and discuss ways we can make a positive impact in our community and the world. So whether you're a longtime member of our church or just tuning in for the first time, we welcome you to join us on this journey. Let's make 2023 a year of growth, both for ourselves and for those around us. Thanks for listening. Here we go.
So anyways, there's somebody that you can invite to church, you know, and obviously we want our church to be of the mindset that there's people to reach, but also there are also special seasons within our church, because again, we realize that, you know, it can be overwhelming, like, man, I got to invite somebody to church, got to invite somebody to church, got to invite somebody to church. Listen, let your light shine on a regular basis. But there will be specific seasons where we'll ramp up as a church and where we're purposing really to promote a season in a time. So what's the next time for our church? The next time for our church is when everybody starts going back to school. When it goes back to school, it goes back to church. And so we're looking to reach people during that season, again, because they're starting to look. Obviously, if they've been disconnected with church, they might be looking for a new home. And so, or maybe it's just somebody that's been disconnected and they're coming back home. And so, praise God, there are different seasons. But we're always mindful of just what God's doing. Amen? Amen. And so, there was something. What did you say I needed to make? First Wednesday, I forgot about that. First Wednesday, July 5th. It is the day after the 4th of July. I realize it's the day after the 4th of July. But listen, you've been partying all weekend long. You've been resting. And when I say party, I'm talking about Christian style, right? Jesus style. You've been partying all weekend long. You've been having a good time relaxing and resting. And so therefore coming into Tuesday, you've had the day off, all refreshed. And so therefore come into Wednesday, the 5th, the first Wednesday. Man, we're coming back to church on Wednesday night and worshiping God and going after Jesus in a big way. Amen. I mean, obviously, 4th of July is an opportunity for us to celebrate freedom and liberty. Listen, it's a good time to come to church and celebrate freedom and liberty, right? And listen, I also know this, that you'll spend time baking yourself out in the sun, getting the sunburn, trying to cook the hot dogs on the grill, or you'll stand in line or wait in line to get to the amusement park or go to the fireworks and get caught up in traffic on your way. And you're thinking, dear God, how long is this going to take? And it took you 3 hours to get away from the fireworks display place. But listen, when it comes to church, everybody says, well, I don't know if it's a good time for me to go. Listen, you're willing to do anything and everything else and to pay the price for it. Come on. Come and let's celebrate Jesus and get free. Amen. Because it's a good day to be in the house of the Lord. So praise the Lord. Come on back and we'll have a good time. That being said, first Saturday is our men's get together. Being that it's the 4th of July weekend, we'll forego that particular week. And we'll reconvene on August. Again, just for the sake of not getting everything messed up with our schedule. Is that all right with everybody? And if you might say, well, listen, I was looking to go to Bob Evans and have some biscuits and gravy. Just get a hold of me and we'll go get some good food, all right? Does that sound good to you? Are you a biscuits and gravy kid? What is your mama been feeding you, man? I'm telling you. She's a bacon kid. Ooh, come on. We can get some bacon. There you go. Awesome. Praise the Lord. Hey, let's get into the message this morning. There's some things that are pressing in my heart. And again, I just want to let you know there's some things that we want to talk to you about in the days ahead. There's some important news that we want to share with you. And so again, I just want to encourage you on the particular day of our church picnic. Again, we're going to give you some news, some good things that God's doing. And so I invite you to come on back again. Having the more people here together is a good thing to hear it collectively as a church family. And it gives us the opportunity to run the race that God has set before us. How many of you know that we're in the end times before Jesus comes? And once again, I think I've said it nearly every single Sunday before as we've come to church. If you don't realize it, Jesus is coming soon. Jesus said you'll know the signs of his second coming. Well, in regards to the rapture, it's signless, but we also know this, that when it comes to his second coming, we'll know that his rapture or the taking away of the church is before that. And so the signs are all around us that Jesus is coming very soon. And listen, it could be today, it could be tomorrow. It is that close and it is at hand. And so it's time for us to not have an escape mentality, but have a hustle mentality. Because again, the King is coming to get his church. Can somebody say amen? And so, with that being said, just understanding that there's things that God has commissioned and called us to do, and therefore it's an exciting time. And so, in regards to some things that we've been talking about in the last, and again, it's just kind of become our summer series, if you will. And I start laughing because my wife just does not like the title of my message. We started this summer series, and it's called The 101 at the 911. And my kids are grinning like, yeah, that's a dumb title, Dad. No, it is the 101 at the 911. Well, let me ask the question, what's 911 mean? Emergency, right? Well, when you think of 101, you always think of the basics, the elementary, the beginning, like English 101, like math 101. You know, when I went to college, they suggested that I didn't take English 101. They said, take 100, because 100 is preparation for 101. I mean, it's like the basics of the basics, you know. yes, you know, we just need to teach you what a noun is and what a verb is. No, I wasn't quite that bad. But anyways, 101 always means the basics. And we said 911 is meaning or translates as an emergency. And in the hour that we live, the basics of church, the basics of walking with Jesus, the fundamentals that many of us grew up on, are things that are that have faded away, or really just something that are unknown to the current modern culture of today. Does that make sense? And so we've been revisiting these things because it's important for us to know that if you've never learned the basics, that it's vital that you do. And here's one thing that I've always learned, that when it comes to the basics are the basics or the foundation of our faith. And so for somebody that says, I know the basics, I already know that, then what that reveals to me is that the basics are head knowledge, but not revelation knowledge. Because if the basics are revelation knowledge, everything else is built upon the foundation or the basics. And therefore, when we rehearse or review the basics, it ought to light us up on the inside and say, that's right. That's good. That is the thing that has caused me to be who I am. It's the foundation. Amen. And everything becomes solid because of this. It ought to be something that, again, stirs up something on the inside that we look forward to hearing these things. Amen? Amen. I mean, for instance, you know, when we talk about giving, I mean, that ought to be something that excites us. The reason being because God says if you're a giver, He's a giver. And how many of you know that God's a bigger giver than you? He says that He supplies all of our needs according to His riches in His glory. So in other words, God takes out of His surplus. Now listen, you might have a lot of good stuff. If you've ever been over to Dave's, there's a couple guitars that I would love to have that he could easily part way with because of the surplus of guitars that he has. Now, I don't even know how to play the guitar, but they're so cool. I would love to have one of the excess surplus guitars that he has. But as cool as that guitar is, and as much as I would love it if he came and says, here you go. Listen, it does not compare to what God can give. Amen? It has nothing in comparison to what God wants to bless us with. And so once again, as I said, even in the subject of tithing and giving, we've often said it around here. We get excited and we love giving time. Why? Because it's a revelation to us that when I give, God gives back. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, and God just continues to pour and bless me in my life. Amen? Amen. I mean, it just always cracks me up. You know, my wife, she got these amazing potato chips the other day. I can't remember even what they were. They were barbecue. I like barbecue potato chips. And so she got these newfangled ones. I don't know what they were. But so she gets the bag and she brings it in to me and she shows it to me. Now, the bag is puffed up and it's this big. And then after she opens it, she says, "Look in there. Look in there." Now, originally, yeah, it's two chips in there. Originally, it appeared as though it was full. But how many of you have noticed that if you shake the bag, they'll start to sift? And before you thought you had a big bag of chips, and now you got two, right? Well, so what's that mean? That means that whatever God's doing, whatever you think He's done, however good you think He is, God always has a way of making more room for you. Amen. There's always more room for God to bless you, to increase you, to love you. We just have to give Him permission. Amen. And sometimes that act of permission or that permission is just an act of obedience. God, I'm willing. Amen. How many of you know the Bible says that those that are willing and obedient shall eat the good of the land? Did you notice that willing and obedient are a partnership? I said willingness and obedience is a partnership. So Kenneth E. Hagin, he had said this. He said one time when he was, I think he was pastoring a church, and he was talking to the Lord about some things, and maybe he was actually went into his traveling ministry. And he said, the ends weren't meeting. He said, "God," he says, "what you said and what you instructed me to do," he said, "the supply isn't there. But I'm doing what you told me to do." And he said, the Lord said to him, he said, "Yes, you were obedient, but you weren't willing." How many of you have ever did something out of obedience, but you weren't willing to do it? Yeah. Yeah. Okay, I'll do it, you know. I mean, my kids are that way. My kids are, you know, one of the simplest things in our household is to take the dog out. I mean, in fact, you don't even have to take the dog out. All you have to do is go to the door and clip on the little leash for him and let him go out and do his thing. But do you know that just say, "Hey, it's so-and-so, will you go let the dog out?" "It's not my turn. I did it the last time. I did it the last three times." Right? And then you say to them, "I don't care who did it. Go do it." And so they're right. And they let the dog out. They were obedient, but their whole expression was saying, "I'm not willing and I'm letting you know it." Right? And so God said to Reverend Hagin, he says, "Listen," he said, "you were obedient, but you weren't willing." And that's what's holding up the answers. And he said, "Boy, I tell you what, I got willing real fast. I just made a quick adjustment. Okay, God, I repent and I'm willing." Come on, somebody. How many of you want to be willing? Not just obedient, but willing so that God can pour out His blessings and increase in our lives. Amen. I just want more of God. When I talk about increase, I'm not talking about substance. I'm talking about God. I want more of God. And whenever God shows up, He brings everything that He has with Him. Amen. The Bible says this, that we have a covenant with God. And if you don't know what a covenant is the most powerful agreement that man knows. We in the Western culture, we don't have any idea what it means to truly have a covenant. But a covenant means this, In fact, in the Old Covenant, the Bible says that they would make a sacrifice. They would take an animal and cut it in half. And then they would make the agreements of the covenant or the promise. And then as they're making the agreement, they would walk between the carcass in a figure eight fashion, walking through the blood and discussing the terms of the agreement. And everything in the agreement is this. This carcass represents how serious we are. We shed blood. Secondly, everything that I have belongs to you. Everything that I am is at your access. If you need protection, I'll protect you. If you need deliverance, I'll help deliver you. If you need provision, I'll make provision available. And if I renege on my promise and the agreement, this is what you can do to me. And so it was something that was so significant and powerful in those days that it says that everything that I am belongs to you. And so when God sent Jesus, Jesus was the fulfillment of that covenant. And everything that should have happened to you for your sin happened to Jesus. That's why he shed his blood. That's why his body was broken. That's why he hung on the cross, because he fulfilled the failure of your covenant and mine with God, and he fulfilled it so that everything that God has belongs to us. Praise God. I said everything that God is and has belongs to you and me because of Jesus. Well, I can tell that's not a real big revelation to y'all. How many of you know that when it comes to God, there's no sickness and disease in heaven? There's no depression up in heaven. I mean, you know, there's not one side of the throne where people are worshiping and praising God and celebrating. And then there's the other side. And it's quiet. There's just a subtle moaning sound on this side. And everybody says, what's going on over there? Oh, that's the depressed people over there. Oh, God. Oh, dear Jesus. No, there's none of that. There's no depression in heaven. There's no sickness in heaven. Amen. There's no lack in heaven. Everything that God has, he said, I made available to you to live this life victoriously. Amen. Now, that was all for free. Praise God. I mean, I wasn't intending on saying that, but if I don't mind to say so myself, that wasn't bad. Amen. Come on, that'll help somebody. If that was ministering or speaking to you, let it help you. Praise the Lord. Amen. So, what are we talking about? We're talking about the basics. The basics and the fundamentals. Well, one of the things that is a very basic principle or basic foundation of the life of a believer is that of the local church. Well, thank you. See that you're all just awake, bright-eyed, and bushy-tailed. Yeah, the church is a basic fundamental principle of the life of a believer, right? Now, once again, over the culture and over the seasons of time, we have seen that that principle or that understanding has become very misunderstood or not understood at all. And it really is a tactic of the enemy, because God said this. He said, when I come back, I'm coming for a glorious church without spot or without wrinkle. That doesn't mean he's coming back for a perfect church. He's coming back for a church full of glory. Well, when you say full of glory, then it must mean that there is a group of individuals that are coming to church hungry for the things of God, for the move of God and the heart of God. Amen? And if you're hungry for the heart of God, you're going to be hungry for the people of God and for the people that need God. Amen? And so once again, there is a fundamental principle of the local church that is necessary for our lives. Do you recall that the Bible says over in 1 Corinthians, it says, don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together, even as you see the day of the Lord approaching. Well, I said, and the word says, you don't have to take my word for it. Jesus is approaching. He's coming very, very, very soon. And he says, when I'm coming, you don't want to miss. He says, in fact, continue to practice the fundamentals, the elementaries of going and being a part of the local church. Amen. He gives very specific instructions. In fact, I was talking to somebody just recently, and we were talking about church. And this is an individual that you would think has an understanding, went to Bible college and just various different things. And when we were talking, I said, hey, listen, I said, you know, why don't you come and just be a part of the church? I said, there's always room. I said, we would just love to have you a part. And well, you know, I've just been kind of pushed to the side here and there. I said, listen, we'll love on you. He said, well, what does that look like? I said, well, just come to church. Just get to come and know people. Let people love on you. He said, well, now, he said, you know, that gets into works. He said, you know, it gets into works because, you know, you're saying I got to go to church. So in other words, you're of that persuasion. Well, I can go to church in the woods. No, you can't. You can be a member of the church and the body of Christ. But Jesus said, through the word of God, he said, do not forsake the assembling. Everybody say assembling. Assembling of yourselves together, even as you see the day of the Lord approaching. He wasn't talking about assembling with the squirrels and the blue jays. He was talking about people, spirit beings that are crying out to God and desiring to see God move. He says, don't forsake the assembling. And I said, it is not of works. It's a mandate of the head of the church. Come to church and be a part of what God is doing. Amen. And once again, people think, well, it's just all religion. Listen, religion will kill you. Religion will send you to hell. God hates religion. What he wants is a relationship with you. Amen? Don't forsake the assembling. Why? Because the Bible says in Revelations, it says when the people assemble, it says that Jesus himself walks amongst the congregation. So listen, I don't know if you sensed anything this morning or if you were half asleep, but listen, I guarantee you, Jesus walked by you this morning because he's here. In fact, he's in me right now helping me preach, praise God. Amen. In fact, for that matter, there are angels filling this room. Praise God. This place is buzzing in the realm of the Spirit. And therefore, if we'll get activated or in tune with what God's doing, we'll see more things in our lives and in the life of the church and in this community because God is wanting to move. Amen. And so once again, the church is vital. It's vital for our spiritual growth in maturity. Now, here's the thing. When it comes to the church, it's interesting because we've got this mentality concerning church or what church ought to look like. How many of you know that what we know as church is really just nothing more than the Western design of a church? I mean, how we do church, you don't find that in the Bible. Did you hear what I said? I said, the format of how we do church, you don't find that necessarily in the Bible. But it's how we have been led by the Holy Spirit to do church, right? And for that matter, most of the world has really adopted the Western culture of how they do church. Now, that can be good and bad. Did you hear me? I said, that can be good or bad. But nevertheless, God wants to use a structure, if you will, to help develop people. But isn't it interesting that again, this thing that we call church, that really there is no real model in the church, we get very rigid in what we think church ought to be and ought to look like. This is what I know. This is how I grew up. This is what I believe. Amen. Right? I mean, some churches say, well, you know what? How we grew up, we're real quiet. In fact, you know, don't get loud in church because that's just not the right thing to do. Other churches, I mean, they're swinging from the chandeliers. Don't you dare just sit there like a bump on a log. You know, you better find a chandelier and swing on that sucker. You know what I mean? Again, there's all kinds of different cultures of what we know as church. There, you know, we grew up at one point in time where we sang these kind of songs. And now it's changed and the model and the method it looks different. But again, it never changes. We are still preaching the message of the cross, the gospel, the good news, and the ministry of what we call the Apostle Paul, or the gospel of the Apostle Paul, which is really in him realities. In fact, for that matter, you know, you remember Jesus said this. He said to his disciples, he says, you know, there's many things that I wanted to tell you, but you're not ready to receive them right now. Remember that? He said, I've got to go away, but you're not ready to receive what I've given to you. But the Bible says that through the Apostle Paul, that God has made the mysteries of the gospel revealed. And so when you look at the writings of the Apostle Paul, he begins to reveal the revelations of what Jesus wanted the church to know. So once again, the church is vital to help us grow in the things of God and understand that there's more. In fact, over in Hebrews, did you not know that the scripture says that concerning the elementary principles, he said, let's not continue to rehearse these things. You know, the message of the gospel, the message of baptisms, of laying on of hands. He says, let's move on to deeper things. He says, those are good. He said, but if we have to stay here all the time and minister on the elementary principles, he says, all we're doing is giving you milk of the word, and therefore you're not growing. He says, there's some meat that I want you to chew on. There's some meat that I need you to digest, because the works that I did, you'll do also in greater works than these. But you've got to see yourself in the light of who I made you to be. Amen. That there's resurrection power living on the inside of you, and that God is using us as a conduit to reach this community. But once again, there's this thing called the local church that is so significant, so vital to our well-being, that we are growing in our relationship and our walk with Jesus. Amen? Amen. And as I said, it's interesting to me how we can take this thing called church and make it so cookie cutter, if you will, to fit our needs. This happened not too long ago, and unfortunately this person isn't with us anymore, and God love her, and man, we'd love to see her come back. But the last thing that happened, there was a reserved seat, there was a seat that she always sat in. In fact, I'm going to blame Randy for this one. See where he's sitting right there? Well, I asked Randy to sit there just because he's the head usher guy. I said, I just want you to be visible and be close if I ever need you. And so he put a reserved seat on that thing, on the chair rather. Well, we changed up some things. Now, maybe we should have explained things before we did it. That would have probably been the better thing. But she came into church one day and she says, hey, my seat has a reserved thing on there. Wasn't it interesting? She thought that was her seat. Some of you are sitting in seats and you think it's your seat. And if somebody sat in your seat, you would get bent out of shape. Come on. Move over. Make room for somebody, all right? But once again, she got upset about that reserved thing. And you know, we tried to explain it. And I'm like, oh, listen, let's just put, you know, you can sit right there. It's whatever. It was on a Wednesday night. Well, then again, you would think that somebody would have the ability to understand. But man, people can just get offended by the most simple things that just don't set well with what they think church ought to look like, right? You doing all right this morning? You doing okay? Now, once again, here's the thing. We also have gotten into a mentality to think that church is all about the believer. It is not all about the believer. In fact, let me just challenge you in this. You can disagree with me, and you're more than... you have the right to believe what you believe. But you know, there are those that think, you know, when it comes to church, man, it ought to be spit fire. I mean, the more spit, the better. And I mean, just having road signs around the church because, man, we just want to run and just zip, 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 you know. And then we just want it as wild as can be because, you know what? That's what on fire Christians do. They get loud. They get crazy. They get just, whoa, you know, and they think that's what it ought to be. Well, I don't know about you. There are times that God wants us to be reverent. He wants us to be quiet. There are times that he wants us to get loud. And there are right times. And you say, well, how do I know when the right time is? You'll know when the right time is because it will be a collective anointing and everybody will get in on what God's doing. Did you hear what I'm saying? I said, if you wonder what God's doing, just look at the collective group. Now, there might be those that are just being stiff and starchy. Well, don't get in with the stiff and starchy. Just get it, jump in with God, right? Does that make sense? And so we want church to look a certain way. But did you know that if your zeal, as zealous as you want to be and can be, you can have sincerity of heart, but you can be sincerely wrong in your actions because it becomes an offense to somebody else. Well, who would get offended? Well, what if there's a believer an unbeliever that don't know? Well, this is the church of God. This is about us believers. No, listen, we need a church that is conducive and inviting to the unchurched that says, I want to come to church and have an encounter with God. Amen. So where they're like, God, I need you in my life. Rather than thinking, dear God, do I got to do that? Do I got to swing from a chandelier? No. No, just come on in and just receive. Now, I said to you that this might go cross-grain with you. But did you ever notice where in the scripture it says this? In regards to the infilling of the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues. Did you notice that, you know, the Apostle Paul, he says this. He says, I pray in tongues more than y'all. He said, I pray in tongues. And then he goes on to say this. He says, you know, when it comes to church, he said, y'all should be praying in other tongues. He says, but, he said, now when there's the unlearned, he said, keep quiet, lest they think you're crazy or out of your mind. Well, if you read that scripture, then you would begin to think, well, there is a contradiction of what God is wanting us to say. On one side, he's saying, pray in tongues, be loud, just be Pentecostal as you want to be. And then on the other hand, he says, now, they might think you're crazy. So, you know, don't do it. Does God contradict himself? Not at all. What's he saying? He says, be mindful of who your audience is. And in regards to those, he says, for those that are unbelievers, on the first hand, he's saying there are believers that don't believe. And he says, your praying in the Spirit can be a sign unto them. They're believers, but they don't believe in this Spirit-filled life. And it can be a witness unto them. But there are the unbelievers that don't know Jesus, and they see you acting crazy, they'll think you're out of your mind. And it becomes a stumbling block unto them. So you see, church has to reach the masses and meet the needs of many people. So we can't get into a place where church becomes a one-size-fits-all. Can somebody say amen? And I'm trusting that we have a group of individuals that are mature enough to say, you know what? I can come and receive from God. At the same time, I know how to go home and draw from the wells of the Spirit of God. I'm not limited in my walk with God merely to reduce to a Sunday morning. That's not how I grow exclusively. No, I am fortified and built up in the local church. But I go home and I have a relationship with God as well. And so therefore, I know that when it comes to church, there are people that need to be taken by the hand. And we're going to help them grow in a relationship with God. And it might not be today, it might be tomorrow. But one day they might swing on a chandelier with us. Amen? So once again, we have to be mature enough to understand there is a foundational principle of the local church. Amen? Now, once again, there's been so many good things that the Holy Spirit just has been ministering right now. I mean, I'm enjoying this myself right now. It's like, wow, that's good stuff. Amen. And so there are some other things that we could get into. Maybe we'll have to make this part one. Is that all right? You doing okay? You are the church. Are you the church that's excited about the church? All right. So in regards to the church, how does the church help us grow? Well, obviously, as the church collectively, the Bible says that iron sharpens iron. I need you. You need me. We need each other. Right? And so therefore, you need the person sitting next to you just as much as they need you. And you might say, well, they just rub me wrong. They just a burr under my saddle. Listen, there's a good number of you that are a burr under my saddle, just to let you know. I'm just teasing. I didn't point at anybody else, so don't think it's you. No, I'm just saying. But still, there are things in the hearts of people that we all need, right? Remember, the Bible says this: not everybody's a hand, not everybody's a foot, but we all give a supply, and every joint gives its supply as it's needed and as necessary. So I need you, you need me. And you might be full of wildfire and I might be full of starch, but each other can help each other out. Amen? Say amen, or so say oh me. All right, praise the Lord. Amen. All right, now once again, as I said this, in regards to the church, notice Jesus, the head of the church, said this: the gates of hell shall not prevail against the church. The church is the ecclesia. It is the body and the people of God. So you might say, well, I am the church and I can do me and be me all by myself. No, listen, you're setting yourself up for an attack of the enemy. Because God said, or Jesus said, he said, the gates of hell will not prevail against the ecclesia or the assembly. So the safest place for you to be, is, excuse me, in especially difficult times, is the local church. Why? Because there's a collective anointing in the house of God. And the anointing in Isaiah 10:27 says, it destroys the yoke and it removes the burden. Praise God. So there is something in the house. There is a power and an energy and the anointing of God that will help you become free when you come together in the local assembly. And the devil can't do nothing about it. But I will tell you this, that the devil has worked like, well, can I just say it this way? You'll forgive me for using it. The devil has worked like hell. Does that make sense? He has fought us tooth and nail to destroy a church that will stand up and raise a standard. To be a power-packed church that will raise the spirit of faith. That will cause people to come out of their place of complacency and come into a place of walking in the divine with God. To say, God is using me in these latter days. Amen? So listen, you can find a church. Just drive down the road just a half a mile and you'll pass three different churches. There might even be churches you pass that are packed out. Thank God that churches are packed out, but they may not be a church that is empowering people to live the victorious Christian life. Amen. And listen, there's a lot of churches that will give you fuzzy messages to tickle your ears, but there is a church, a remnant of a church that will minister to you and love you enough to tell you the truth. Amen. Amen. All right, let me just close with this. In Ephesians chapter 4, starting in verse 7, it says, but to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore, he says, when he ascended on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts to men. Notice what he said. He led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. How many of you realize that when God gives you a gift, he doesn't take it back? And it was very significant that he brought it to your awareness that he gave gifts unto men. What are these gifts as we continue to read? Verse 9 says, now this he ascended. What does it mean? But that he ascended. First ascended into the lower parts of the earth. He who descended also is the one who ascended far above all the heavens, that he might fill all things. Now here's the gifts. Verse 11. And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. What did he give these gifts for? For a specific reason. Verse 12. For the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure and the stature of the fullness of Christ. God said, one of the significant things about the local church is that there's a gift. I don't say this to elevate a man or to point a finger at me. But God gives gifts to help you grow. And one of those gifts is a pastor. How many of you know you can only find a pastor in a local church? I said you can only find a pastor in a local church. And you can only hear from the pastor as if you're in the house of God. Right? Now, what does it do? It says that it matures you. So listen, if you don't have a pastor, then you can't mature to the measure that God wants you to. It's part of the elementary principles. You can only grow to the measure with the help of the Holy Spirit, the Word of God, and ministry gifts. Now you might say, well, Pastor, you're just patting yourself on the back. No, listen, I've got ministers and pastors in my life. I'm not exempt. I'm still growing. I'm still wet behind the ears. And I need mentors to speak into my life. Give direction, give correction, give help. In fact, just this past week, I've called some pastors and say, listen, I need some advice. Men that I esteem, that speak into my life, that I've given permission to have that voice. And then it says that there's a call of God on your life. There are so many people that have had calls on their life, but do not understand the local church and do not understand the role of a pastor in their life. And therefore, they're able to do very little in the kingdom of God, but a few little things here and there because they...
And with that, we come to the end of this episode. We hope that you have found inspiration and encouragement in our discussion today, and we invite you to join us again next week. Let's make 2023 a year of growth and love by sharing the message of our church with others. We encourage you to take the Plus One Challenge this week and invite someone to join you at our next worship service. You can get more information about our church and say hi to us anytime from our website or social media, all online at gvchurch.tv. Thanks for listening. We are Genesee Valley Church, loving God, loving people, and loving life.